Don't miss out at 1 o'clock your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Chris Brown, Chris Breezy. I'm working on that all week. At Golden One Center this summer, all you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 o'clock, and we'll let you know what number to call and what number you need to be to win that pair of tickets to see Chris Brown at Golden One Center on July 30th. For more information, you can check out the wonderful website that is SacktownSports.com, where you can find, as you just heard, Frankie Cardicelli. He's got tons of stuff. He's actually had to get out of here because he has some work that he's got to attend to, writing all those articles. And, of course, you can always check out our guy Brendan Nunez's content over there as well on the website. Great stuff, fantastic stuff. Got your Kings previews, got your Kings recaps, got everything that you would need when it comes to Sacramento Kings, San Francisco 49ers, and just general news that concerns you over at SacktownSports.com. Now we move into the second half of the show, and with that comes the transition of talking about the Kings weekend ahead, and that will be a Sunday matchup. I don't know. I'm not a movie person, so I'm not actually sure what matinee means, but I believe, does this qualify as a matinee? That was my general understanding of what a matinee ticket was.
Might technically be before noon.
Anybody, please, behind the glass. Like, Verlade's back there. Yeah, I know Chris is a big movie. Like, can somebody help me out here?
I don't think it's before noon. I think it's like before 2 or 3, right?
Sure, let's take that.
I'll look it up right now. But yeah, it's like a discounted price for coming early for the show.
There will not be a discounted price for this Sunday. Absolutely not. But there will be an earlier game, 3 o'clock tip-off on Sunday against the Houston Rockets, who we have not seen in some time. And we have not missed them at all because the Kings, as those of you who have good memory, unlike myself, you will remember that the Sacramento Kings lost 2 games to the Houston Rockets consecutively very early in this season, and it was a bit of a confusing one. In a weird way, it was prepping us for what was to come later, because it was really the first sign that there might be some cracks in the armor of this team. There might be that this season was not going to be like last season, where it felt like all fun. It would not be a continuation of that. And the Rockets still sit at 2-0 against the Kings this year. Overall this season, the Rockets have not played well. You would not think after watching that team for those 2 games that they would have the record that they have at this point in the season. They are 27-35, and the big one for the Kings, which I just don't think it's going to matter. The Rockets are terrible, horrible on the road this year. They are 6-24 in road games. Brendan, I mean, I don't know how much you've really caught of Houston here since the Kings have played them a lot, or since the Kings have played them, haven't played them in a very, very long time. But what have you seen from this Houston team? I mean, they're clearly, you know, a grade above where they were last year, where they were pretty much where the Spurs are at this year, where they're I would say even worse, actually. They were a glorified AAU team last year. They bring in Fred VanVleet this offseason. They bring in Dylan Brooks this offseason. And you know, you see them becoming a little bit more serious with Ime Udoka on the defensive end. What are your thoughts on Houston this season? And should we expect Sunday to be yet another game where the Kings are going to have to scrap for it?
Yeah, last 7 games for the Rockets, they've actually played the Suns 3 times.
Really?
And they beat them twice.
Wow.
And I don't see here if they're home or road. Right. It wouldn't surprise me if those were necessarily home games for the Rockets. We talked about earlier, better home record than the Kings this year. But they are one of the biggest differences, almost Golden State-ish from last year for these home and road games. But they do play hard. You know, Jalen Green can be a little hectic offensively, but Şengün, you know, a little bit.
I looked at his percentages. He's under 40% from 3 and from the field in the last 10 games.
Yeah. But a little bit of a homecoming of sorts for him.
Guy
not from too far away. And Şengün is the one, though, that's been playing out of his mind.
Right.
Almost like a, you know, have you seen the Pokemon
of
evolution?
Course. It's my favorite.
It goes Şengün, Sabonis, Jokic.
Yes.
And Şengün might be closer to Sabonis than Sabonis is to Jokic, to be honest. And so they play hard, and they have their nights where they can get rolling offensively. Like, Jalen Green played really well in those games that Sacramento lost. I remember him having a very big first half, and then they end up doubling in the second half, and he hardly scored from there on. But they have some threats, and this is the type of team that we shouldn't worry about, but we have to with this Kings team. Like a team that can struggle to score. We talk about, like I'm saying, Jalen Green being inefficient. You have a bad defensive night and let that guy get rolling.
That's right.
He can score.
He'll kill you.
He can score.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that you can't let that happen against. Yeah. It's Mike Brown talked multiple times these last handful of games of we can only double two people at a time. Yep. We can't be doubling three people.
That's right.
And if it ends up needing to be Van Vliet, Şengün, and Jalen Green,
that's going
to
be a problem.
It could be a problem.
Yeah, and Fred VanVleet was also a killer, if I remember correctly, in those games, or at least in one of those games against the Kings earlier this year. I have the Rockets' last 10 games. They're 4-6, but the thing is, you mentioned it, Alperen Şengün has taken his game to another level. I've been a bit critical of him, more so in the sense of I think that it's, you know, when you're the young, upcoming guy, it's always fun and dandy, but then, you know, you get to a point where you get to Sabonis' level. We talk about the evolution. The Charmander stage is fun. That Charmeleon stage is where you kind of meet a lot of resistance. And then, of course, everybody who doesn't, Simone especially, we know, loves a good Charizard. So once you get to that Jokic level, there's really no concerns. It's all praise. But it feels like Şengün as well is just getting a ton of praise, but it is rightfully so. Last 10 games, 21 points per game, 10 rebounds, 3.7 offensive rebounds per game in these last 10. Also for the season, Houston, you know, you said you can catch them on the right night, but you catch them every other night, and they're not going to be good. They shoot 28th in the NBA in field goal percentage, 45%. They are 29th in three-point percentage, which we know that number doesn't matter.
The Spurs were 30th.
Exactly. So that number absolutely doesn't matter. And again, in the last 10 games, Houston's offensive rating is 25th in the NBA, 14th in defensive rating. So this is a team really that has started to lean a little bit more on their defense. I think that's straight Ime Udoka putting his imprint on this game, on this team. But realistically, I think you laid it out there perfectly. Jalen Green is really a perfect test case. Or if you see what kind of game Jalen Green has, that's really going to show you what kind of game Houston's probably going to have on that night. Like if he's going to be on and he's going to be a 30-plus point per game scorer, it's going to be a long night. And something tells me, this Kings team just feels like a team that Jalen Green is going to put 30-plus on.
I mean, there's even Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith Jr. that aren't pushovers, you know? Like,
no, Jabari, he's taking a leap this year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this conversation about Kevin. Who does Kevin guard? Dylan Brooks?
I guess
it's Dylan Brooks. Yeah. And on the right night, Dylan Brooks can score too, actually.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, you know, it is another one of those, but you should be able to take care of business. It's come out to a big lead and maintain it.
Yeah.
Is the big thing
right
here. And keep that up. Let them go on a run. Not let them. They are going to go on a run. It's the nature of it.
Yep.
Just nip it in the bud a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Don't let it keep getting extended because they are going to fight. Ime Udoka does demand some defense out of this group.
Yeah.
And take advantage of a lack of a bench. The Kings bench has been playing well, so I would say really try to win those minutes.
I'm curious, Brendan, Sunday's game, this isn't really basketball analytics or anything, but it feels like when the Kings specifically, and maybe it's every other team, I just don't really experience it with them, when they play these 12 o'clock or it's going to be a 3 p.m. tip-off, I feel weird going to the game and having my schedule kind of, I won't say ruined, but kind of ruined by the early tip. Do you think that there's something to that? Like, do you think that, you know, these Sunday 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock tips, do you think that there's actually something that impacts, like, and it might not necessarily be in a negative, but do you just think it feels different for these guys out there on those kind of games?
Yeah, I mean, I think humans in general are a creature of habits, absolutely, but professional athletes are the most extreme example
of
that, you know, and everybody has different levels of variance to that, but it does throw off your schedule, like, probably no shoot around that
day.
That's
what I was going to ask next.
Which, you know, maybe they'll still go through a walkthrough,
right,
but everybody's routine is a little off. You're used to waking up at the same time. A lot of players get a nap in the middle of the day.
Right.
Maybe that's not going to be able to get worked into your schedule, you know, but the team you're playing is dealing with the same thing.
Right.
You know, so I don't feel like it's any sort of excuse or uneven playing field or really. If it factors in, it equally factors in for both of these teams when it comes down to it. But it does feel weird to me, too.
Yeah,
we're
going
to be eating breakfast at Golden 1 Center.
Exactly. No, it's so weird. And the little inside baseball. But, yeah, the food that they always feed us for these 3 o'clock games is it's a bit strange because it's like a 12 o'clock. We usually show up 12:30 and it's – you know, like some mass-produced eggs and some waffles and, you know, things like that. And it's like, okay, like, I guess. Well,
they're eggs, whatever, allegedly.
12:30.
Allegedly
eggs. I kind of ate breakfast already before I got here. Yes, yeah, and they are definitely, yeah, it's like space eggs is kind of what it is. It's like, I don't really know exactly where you got this from.
Space eggs because they're playing Houston. Is that the?
That's exactly. By the way, Houston's their alternate logo with the astronaut. Top. It is top. There is no, not even a close number two. That court is incredible. I love it. It is my absolute favorite thing. I take that back in saying that there's not a close second. The Philadelphia 76ers Benjamin Franklin logo.
No, elite. No.
I'm telling you right now.
Biggest head on that dude, first of all.
First
it's
off,
not it.
Ben is going to take your ankles.
No.
I wish I had some, like, Constitution joke. I don't know, some sort of quippy joke to throw in there.
He's
going to
fly a kite
reference.
And cross me over?
There you go.
Not
absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely.
Not happening.
I honestly, now that I'm thinking, I'm not even going to say it on air. Never mind. I'm not going to out myself.
Would the Thunder technically be, like, a good team to go against him? Does that, like, counter?
Ooh. You're talking about Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah.
Lightning.
You know what I mean?
Lightning.
Yeah.
That's what we're going at here.
I would think so. I would think that's probably the best equipped team to take that.
Or maybe he's really familiar with them. It might go the other way.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah. Hard-hitting analysis.
These are the things that we need to figure out, and these are the things that you can find out on Sacktown Sports with Brendan's writing. Coming up next, we are going to talk with Anthony Slater of The Athletic. We're going to talk a little bit of Warriors. Steph Curry went down yesterday. We're going to hear if there's any update on that. We're going to get a nice little landscape of the Western Conference, and of course, we're going to ask Slater about some Kings questions as well. You definitely don't want to miss this. Styles and Watkins right here on Sacktown Sports 1140. All guests and callers come to you via the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And via that Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, you can also call in at 1 o'clock or around 1 o'clock, where we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see Chris Brown at Golden 1 Center this summer. You can check out for that later on the program. That concert will be July 30th. At Golden 1 Center. Brendan, I don't know if you saw this. Actually, G-Man, funny enough, told us a story, a really, really funny story that Malik told, I guess, the locker room the other day about the Bad Bunny concert. I have you been to a concert at Golden 1 Center yet this not
good
necessarily
question.
This year.
Question. I saw some group, maybe like Chainsmokers or something.
Wow.
That, like, family invited me to.
I was like,
to,
I would
you
not
know?
Have
no.
clocked
I was
you
really
as a
sad. Well, I'm not. I just, like, tagged along, you know. I was really sad I missed the 50 Cent concert, for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, I heard that was popping. And, just briefly, essentially, G-Man told us yesterday that Mike Brown essentially bought out one of the booths or one of the suites for the Bad Bunny concert. And I guess Malik wasn't able to go because he couldn't lock down a suite, and Mike Brown really only had him and his significant other in there as well. So, shout out Bad Bunny. I heard it was popping over there. Joining us via the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, we do have Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. I did see yesterday, of course, the Bulls and the Warriors played yesterday at Chase Center. You guys couldn't take care of the Bulls in the same way that the Kings couldn't the other day. But Steph went down in that fourth quarter. Is there any update that you have on Steph Curry's health?
Oh, they're looking at it today. I mean, he's likely to miss time at this point. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy long. But, sprained his ankle. And, you know, he has history with ankles, but they've held up well the last several years. They can't afford him missing too much time, though, considering, you know, the standings crunch.
Yeah, Anthony, thanks for hopping on, man. As you just mentioned, a really tight race in the West, and Warriors end up losing that game to the Bulls. Familiar feeling for the Kings, who lost to the Bulls not long ago, but just how much, you know, with every game just holding so much weight at this point in the season, how much have you seen the Warriors be trending in the right direction as the year winds down here?
Yeah, look, they're 12-4 in their last 16. Some of the losses have been loud. I assume you guys saw that Boston game on Sunday. Yeah. They lost by 52.
Yeah.
But they also beat the Bucks by 35 in the next game. They're, I think it was first team in NBA history to lose by 50 and then come back and win by 30. But they've been good. You know, I mean, Draymond Green's return changed who they are. He plays center full-time now. Kuminga and Wiggins can play together, and they couldn't early in the season. Pajemski's risen. Kuminga has ascended in his third season. Klay Thompson has settled into a bench role. Chris Paul is back. So really, I mean, like, they are one of – I'd say if you look at that 5-10 crunch in the West that I was talking about, of those teams, I'd say them and the Pelicans are probably playing the best consistent basketball over the last, like, 6 weeks.
Anthony, I'm curious, you know, with everything, like, from 1-4 is really tight, and then, of course, the 5-10 is incredibly tight. Do you think that this playoffs is setting up, specifically in the West, to have a couple of upsets? I mean, we saw the Lakers last year make it all the way to the conference finals, but just with how close all of these teams are, it feels like there's not really a big separation in the tiers of these two teams. Do you see it that same way, or do you think that there is kind of a clear separation between those top four and the others that are still kind of competing for the play-in?
I think the Nuggets are going to crush whoever they get in the first round, probably. I would have said the same about the Clippers a couple weeks ago, but they're looking shakier. But the Nuggets are the team I trust the most. The Nuggets are the team, if you're sitting 5-10, I think you want to avoid the most. Although it gets tricky because if they're in 3, you don't want to avoid 6 and be in 7 because then you're in the play-in. But it might be better to be 7, play your way out of the play-in and get Minnesota without Towns potentially in the first round. So it's going to be in, like, the standings jostling, I think, late will be interesting. As far as to your question, kind of depends on how you define upset. You know, if it's Lakers-Thunder in the 1-8, but the Lakers have handled the Thunder well this season, Vegas might put the Lakers as slight favorites. You guys saw it last year where it was Warriors 6, Kings 3. Warriors were the favorites going into that series, right? I'm not sure we would have considered that series an upset. I'm not sure if it's Warriors-Wolves with no Towns. Vegas will, like, Warriors might be slight favorites. So I think, to your grander point, yeah, West should be wild. I think 3 out of the 4 series, I think we won't really know which direction they're going, which will make it fun. But again, I also, at this point, especially after last night, I'm kind of thinking the Nuggets might run away with the West when it comes down to it.
Yeah, Anthony Slater, The Athletic. Sacramento obviously been really inconsistent this year, and I'm curious from your perspective, do you feel like that makes them a tough evaluation, or does that sort of speak for itself in the caliber of team that this is?
I kind of think they're a simpler evaluation than most of the general public does. I think they're very similar to the team they were last year. They brought back the same core. You know, Sabonis is still super productive, but, you know, I think it's fair to believe he may have, like, a playoff ceiling as kind of, you know, your back line, you know, center, rim protector. Fox is excellent, just like he was last season. You know, the supporting cast is relatively similar. You know, Barnes is still the same player. Herter, you know, he's going to hit shots, but I think on a playoff stage, you wonder how many minutes, you know, remember his minutes went down in that series. Keegan Murray's taking a defensive leap, so maybe that nudges some of their ceiling overall upward. I know their offense is taking a small step back. Their defense is taking a small step forward. They have had a weird season, as you guys know much better than I do, with, like, you know, you lose to the Pistons at home and blow the Nuggets out, you know, two nights later. Like, there's a lot of that, but I do still think, like, they're kind of the same tier of team that they were last season. Last season, that got them the 3 seed, but that was a little bit of an outlier from a record perspective, right? The record they had last season wouldn't normally be a 3 seed. It's kind of the record that they're on pace for this season. It'll just probably be more like 6-7. I think they're going to be dangerous in the first round. They've shown they can beat anybody. They pushed the Warriors last season and very easily could have won that series. I can see them winning a first-round series depending on matchup this season. But at the same time, I assume you guys are probably in agreement. Like, I don't see them making a run to the finals. But I also think they are a threat in the first round, which I think you could probably say about, like, 6 teams in the West.
Right. It's definitely a wide-open conference. And, you know, if we're talking super pie in the sky, is there a world where they get a favorable route and all of a sudden sneak into a Western Conference Finals? Like, maybe. I'm not betting on it. I would bet on a first-round exit, but that could even have to come through the play-in. And as somebody that covered the Warriors' last couple of play-ins, in my mind, it's just as unpredictable it gets in single-elimination basketball. But what have you seen in your experience on what really matters in those games, and how unpredictable are they?
Well, they're fun. They're unpredictable. I'd say that I covered the first season of the play-in, which was, like, you know, nobody knew how it was going to go, and the Warriors went into L.A., in Staples in the 7-8 game, and they were up, like, double digits. They were up in the fourth. It looked like they were going to come out and be the seven seed. They lose that one kind of in a heartbreaking fashion. I remember, you guys might remember the game. LeBron hit like a deep wing three after he got hit in the face and was like saying he was seeing three baskets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shoot for the middle.
Yes.
Yeah. So they got in, and then the Warriors were like, okay, you know, they had that fallback game, and they faced the Grizzlies coming into Chase, and it was the very young Grizzlies, and Ja Morant upset them, and they didn't get in the playoffs. So it's dangerous, even if you are the seven or the eight. But at the same time, look at the Heat last year. They play the 7-8 game. They lose to Atlanta. Then they face the Bulls in a full elimination game. I think they're down in, like, the third quarter. Like, mid-third quarter, the Heat are, you know, basically 18 minutes away from their season ending before the playoffs. They escape that game, and then they go to the finals. So it can be done. Lakers played out of the play-in and got to the West Finals last year. But it's unpredictable because, I mean, it's NCAA tournament-style basketball. It's great, but, you know, anything can happen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Thank you so much for joining us. Thankfully, the Kings don't play the Warriors again for the rest of this season, so we won't have to deal with any of those.
Are you kidding me? I think it's destined. I think it's destined.
Oh, don't do it, Slater.
Don't do it to us.
Don't do it, Slater.
Play-in in Golden 1.
Oh.
I mean, that's good theater. These two teams have great. I love seeing these two teams battle out, especially in Sacramento.
Oh, no. It's an absolute blast. The environment in a – even if it's a 7-10 Kings-Warriors final for that last playoff spot, I mean, the environment is going to be absolutely insane. It's just those games bring us here in Sacramento tons and tons of stress that we just don't need. We already have enough stress playing teams, apparently like the San Antonio Spurs, so we don't need any of that Warriors stress. Anthony Slater,
you can go back to being a lottery team, and then April is very stress-free. March is very stress-free. I don't think you want that, right? Sports is supposed to bring stress.
Absolutely. No, sure. We're just having fun here. Anthony Slater, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely hear from you, and I'm sure we'll see you at a Kings game here soon. Thank you, Slater.
Yep. See you guys.
Appreciate it, man.
That was Anthony Slater of The Athletic. You can definitely go check out his work. Coming up next, we are going to talk about the Stockton Kings, not something that we talk about a lot, but this is definitely something that is of note and absolutely something that needs to be addressed and talked about. We will do that next right here on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports 1140. Styles and Watkins, Alan Styles is out of town. He's on vacay, enjoying some nice Arizona weather. I believe he's golfing right now at this exact moment, getting prepared for the baby race on Sunday, which we are all anxiously awaiting. Got Brendan Nunez in the studio here joining me for the entirety of today's show. It's been a flying by so far. Thank you to Anthony Slater, who just joined us via the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. If you missed that interview with Anthony Slater, you can check it out over on our YouTube page where we archive all of our interviews, or, you know, at least most of them, over at youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. You can check out tons of good content over there. You can also check out, we post Kings practice videos. We post post-game videos as well. So we've got you fully covered over there on our YouTube channel and, of course, over at SacktownSports.com. And, Brendan, I would like to talk about something that, you know, I don't know how many people in general would get excited to talk some Stockton Kings. It's a little bit niche. It's a little deep probably for some people. I know, you know, there's baseball heads out there who really care about AAA and AA baseball and, you know, will keep up with prospects, but I don't think it's quite gotten that point yet with basketball following where people are truly invested in the daily progression of some of their young guys over in the G League. However, the Stockton Kings last night beat the Mexico City Capitanes yesterday by a score of 130-102 at Golden 1 Center. Mason Jones, who we have not seen much here in Sacramento, but over in Stockton, is playing just about as well as you can. He had a triple-double, actually, yesterday. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. A great game for Mason Jones. definitely, if you have not yet been out to Stockton to go check out a game, would highly recommend it. I think there's about a month and some change left in the season, so you're kind of running out of time. I know there's a game tonight against the Capitanes as well, so you can go check that out. But the reason why we're talking about the Stockton Kings, who did play again in Golden 1 Center yesterday, is because Colby Jones had a massive, and I don't even know if massive fully encapsulates how good Colby Jones played yesterday. 43, yes, 43 points for Colby Jones yesterday. 7 assists, 5 boards, and on top of all that, 4 steals as well. He shot 16 of 22 from the field. He hit 8 threes, 8 of 12 from the perimeter yesterday. Brendan, we've been to a couple Stockton games, you and me, and I think we've seen Colby in 2 of them, and I know you've gone more than anybody else. What do you like about Colby's game? What do you see? And when it comes to translating over to the NBA, how much of this, you know, 43-point performance should fans get excited about? Is Colby truly a guy that you can see impacting at an NBA level?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think eventually. And I think of the, like, Keon Ellis route.
Sure.
You know, they have their similarities. A guy that they are making into a bit more of a point guard.
Mm-hmm. And Keon's in his third year now? Sorry.
Keon is now third year, okay. I believe.
Not that it'll be exactly on that progress. But
that was like the process with Keon is, okay, we're going to have you learn to be a point guard.
Yeah.
And then eventually that sort of, he got better at it. He's still not a great playmaker, but just being able to bring the ball up the floor. You know, there was a time earlier this year, I want to say while they're in Houston, that they try to roll Colby Jones out there.
That's right.
And he's getting it picked away before he can cross half court. Yeah. And it's not that Keon is never like that either, but it's a process. And before that game, Colby had played 19 games for Stockton. This is between the showcase and the regular season, which they're all just games. It's a little bit of a weird format.
It's very strange.
But he had played 19 games, averaged 17 points, 6.6 boards, 4.3 assists, 2.1 steals.
Wow.
But
that's legit.
The more raw aspect, 4.3 assists, but 3.3 turnovers. Mm. 46% from the field is fine. 31.4% from three, not great. And you know how you know he's a Sacramento King?
I saw this.
55.3% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
He wasn't a great free throw shooter in college, too, which is weird because he has amazing touch. Mm-hmm. It's been one of the most impressive things, his finishing around the rim to me. But he's a guy that I think is very well-rounded. He reminds me of Dante DiVincenzo. Mm-hmm. Just does a little bit of everything out there, but there's still is some fine-tuning that I think needs to happen and has been happening throughout the course of this season. He's still practicing with Sacramento throughout this process as well, since he's not actually on a two-way. He's just getting assigned to the G League. So I think it's been a good process, but I'm encouraged by what he provides. And, you know, we're seeing Davion Mitchell, Keon Ellis make an impact in these games.
Yeah.
And he fits into that mold. A smart player, works really well off of cutters. He played with a passing big throughout college and a very similar style offense to what Sacramento does now. And some interesting versatility with his size, too. So I think he's definitely somebody to keep tabs on.
Yeah.
But I saw people after that like calling for like, okay, well, why isn't he getting any run? He's still raw. It's a process. This is a guy we're talking about, what, 34, 36 overall in this last draft. Like, just be a little patient, but I think it's promising when you're projecting outwards.
Yeah, no, I mean, you beat me to it because I know it's so funny that you say that. I know Kings fans, and I know the first thing that 90 or whatever large percentage of Kings fans are going to say immediately after seeing that stat line is, boy, we could really use a guy like that, huh?
Yeah.
Like, he plays defense, you see the steals. Oh my gosh, 8 of 12 for 3, so he shoots and he plays defense. Why can't we see Colby Jones playing? And so, you beat me to it there in asking if Colby can contribute this season. I'm right there with you. Like, I'm sure he could have little pockets, little moments, but frankly, I mean, at this point in the season, it's you. If maybe Davion and Keon weren't giving you what they're giving you on top of Kevin Huerter struggling, and maybe you're just not liking at all what Chris Duarte is giving you, maybe as a, so what I'm saying essentially is a last ditch effort, a last resort. Sure. I just don't think we're going to get to that point. However, when we're talking about next season is, you know, and I don't really think Malik Monk, whether he stays or goes, really ultimately impacts this, but do you think or do you see Colby Jones as soon as next season maybe making an impact? Because like you said, we saw him early this year, and that felt a little strange because it felt like he was getting opportunities before a guy like Keon. And so What did you read into that? The fact that he played so early? What have you read into the fact that he hasn't really played since? And yeah, looking forward to next season, is this a guy that you think they're going to kind of pencil in to the big club lineup?
I think he'll get opportunities. If we know anything about Mike Brown, is that at some point he's going to try everybody on the roster,
right,
even just to keep him engaged. He talks about that's one of the biggest things he learned from Steve Kerr is throw the guy towards the end of the bench out there every once in a while because, again, it keeps them engaged.
Right.
It makes them go that much harder in their individual workouts and practices, knowing that I'm going to get an opportunity
right.
at some point, and if I take advantage of it, that will continue from there. Keon Ellis, it started in garbage time minutes against
the
Houston
right.
Rockets.
That's right.
And it's all snowballed since then. Literally got himself a three-year deal, an NBA deal, a guy that was undrafted, or started in JUCO, goes to Alabama, goes undrafted, a two-way deal, and literally from performing well in garbage time, and there's a lot of other stuff that goes with it as well,
right.
But slowly worked his way into rotation, gets a three-year NBA deal. Like, you are going to get an opportunity. I just think that it is part of the process. I feel like we saw them do the same thing with Demi Ishketa.
Right.
That a lot of times people are like, this guy's playing really well in the G League. Like,
yep.
he should get some more run.
Yeah.
A lot
Second
of times,
in G League MVP, right?
Exactly. A lot of times, though, it feels like this first year, they're like, let's just commit you to Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
develop it,
let
right? yeah.
Lindsey Harding do what they do. And those coaching staffs are communicating a lot. Again,
Absolutely.
He's still getting practice reps with Sacramento that I think are valuable. And so I think that he will get an opportunity next year. We'll see if he takes advantage of it. It might be some depth that you kind of laid out that he'll be fighting an uphill battle, but I'm encouraged. And I think one of the big signs eventually, looking a little ahead here, is I want him to kick some butt in summer league.
Yeah, right. I mean, we saw Keegan have a massive,
yeah.
massive summer league, had a huge California Classic, and that definitely contributed to, I think, his confidence heading into this year. And I think Colby's a guy who really doesn't lack confidence. We heard him talking the other day just about his game, and you could just tell he's a really confident guy, and especially in his first year, I think it's great to have and kind of build him up and have him feeling really good about how he's playing. Chris, the mom on the text line here says, isn't Keon's second year? Thought he was drafted the same year as Keegan. Isn't this Keegan's second year? I believe that Keon and Nemeas were the Kings' only picks from that year. So I do believe that this is, and we can check here, but yes, this is Keon's third NBA season.
2022, he was undrafted.
There you go, yes. There you go. So actually, no. So this is
year.
His second year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Is that right?
No. Maybe he just didn't play a game for the Kings in his first year. Maybe it was just all in Stockton, and so he technically wouldn't register. But if I'm not mistaken, we'll get to the bottom of this
yeah.
after the break, but I'm pretty sure it's Keon's third year. Again, the Stockton Kings play the Capitanes again tonight, and if you're just like, I just don't like have a lot of familiar faces. I'd like to support the Kings, but I honestly just don't like to see players that I don't know. Well, guess what? The Capitanes actually have tons of former Kings and one old school NBA name that you're going to be shocked he's still playing. Juan Toscano-Anderson, who is a King this year, is on the Capitanes. Lou King, who is a Summer League legend, is on the Capitanes. And
Summer League MVP.
MVP, that's right. Put some respect on his name, as well as Kenneth Faried. This is where Kenneth Faried has been the past 5 years. The Manimal, exactly. He is playing for Mexico City. So if you want to go see those guys, I think Colby Jones got called up yesterday, if
yeah,
I'm not
no
mistaken.
Word on Colby Jones getting assigned to Stockton gotcha. Yet, but we do have Kessler Edwards going down there, and it is Keon's second year, by the way.
It is Keon's second
confirmed.
Year, so
yeah.
look at that.
Appreciate
Chris
the correction.
Knew it. She knew it. She's on it, and we appreciate you, Chris the Mom, for always keeping us honest and making sure that we got everything right here for the listening audience. We're going to hit a break here real quick. Coming back, we're going to lighten it up a bit, and I'm going to ask Brendan, if you could have an ideal Manning cast, but for the NBA, who's
Ooh.
Your pick? We'll talk about that next right here on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports 1140. That's right, Styles and Watkins. Styles is out on vacay on this Friday. I will say I looked at the weather yesterday and very, very happy to see Thursday 70 degrees, Friday 74 degrees, next Saturday 72 degrees, next Sunday 73.
Ooh.
I got my shorts on today. I was
oh,
like,
man.
I'm ready. I am so ready for this weather to change.
Rain, rain, go away.
Please, dude. I've never been like, I mean, here's why I am the worst, most annoying human on the planet.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm, because there's a lot of different reasons why. But I operate in like I don't know what the exact number, but I'll just say it's like a 10 degree, probably more so like a 5 to 8 degree comfort zone where, you know, if it's like mid 70s, I'm good. Probably in the 80s, I probably am fine. But this, like, it gets too hot for me real quick and it gets too cold for me real quick. So it's like I'm either freezing or I'm sweating all day. And it's just there's no happy medium. And so I think I'm really like this time coming up here is really like this is my prime. This is where I thrive.
Yeah, this
I don't know
is what's
about
gonna
you.
Do it for you. It's about to be elite radio.
Yeah,
next week.
It's more just so I never go outside, and I think I might actually touch grass for once.
I do not believe
weekend.
You. Yeah. Do not believe you.
Yeah,
if you say so.
Yeah,
you say
I mean,
so.
We'll see.
Yeah. Look out for walk-ins on random corners getting shots up. Getting shots up.
I might. Say miracle.
Exactly. Thank you, Vin. And yeah, you better believe I'm going to start getting shots up because we were talking. Frankie was getting shots up the other day. Apparently, there's in the background. I shouldn't probably bring this to the public, but I'm going to so that there's a little bit of public pressure.
I know where you're going.
A lot of people in the media circle here talking about getting a media game together.
We are.
And, you know, if that's going to be the case, I got to come correct because I know that there's a couple people out there. There's some people I'm not concerned about at all.
Oh, yeah. You want to clarify? Or?
You know, maybe when the game's coming up, maybe I'll give them some bulletin board material, but we're still early in the process, so I don't want to make enemies just for the sake of it. Not yet. But yeah, there's some people out there that I'm going to be worried about. And honestly, I've played one-on-one with you, and you're somebody to be concerned
I'm
about.
Okay, bro. I might... You know,
Brendan,
I'm feeling like Jaden McDaniels out here. I'm going to win all four.
Are you surprised to learn Brendan defensively pretty physical?
Shut it down?
Like, he was not afraid. Like, I probably double the weight
physical.
Of Brendan. He was not afraid to get like he
I
was
play physical.
He
I'm
was playing in the post. I was like, this man is about his business.
I'm telling you.
I could not believe
you.
It.
I'm
so
excited.
Trying to tell people they don't believe me.
They don't.
I always played. I played. My dad would play Hoop It Up. I'd play with older like
for sure.
grown adults when I was a little kid. I remember one time we were playing at a park, and it's a breakaway. I'm probably 10, 12, and I sit there and try to take a charge on this grown man
brother.
That probably was about to dunk it.
Yeah,
and
he's
was
like, this
so
kid's
worried
get
about
out of
running
the way.
Me over that he dodged and missed, and I was like, good defense. Good defense.
Good
looking back, it's just like, this kid is, I'm going to kill this kid. Yeah. So like, He's going to stand in the way.
I was planted, though. Would have been a charge, bro. Let me tell you.
It
nobody's
been
calling that, but
I hope it would have been worth it. I really hope it would have been worth it. And I don't know if you heard yesterday, but Allen's out on charges. So he would hate to hear that you, of course. I mean, it is kind of fitting that you would take charges. I do think that that would be a big part of your game because I know you're an agitator.
Yeah. Sneaky athletic, you know.
All of those. Cliches definitely fit Brendan. Very Alex Caruso-esque here. Brendan Nunez's basketball game. I saw this yesterday or the other day. This is via Ari from MySports Update on Twitter, who's always got a ton of football news. If Peyton Manning were to sign Bill Belichick, the idea of teaming up with ESPN to create a Manning cast featuring Bill Belichick and Nick Saban is expected to be discussed, which is absolutely incredible. And I mean, those two have a really good relationship. It's pretty similar to like Pop and Steve Kerr. They were on the same staffs at one point, and there's just a really mutual respect between those two. And I think that would be one of the cool, like that's the next level of Manning cast where, you know, you could get the quarterback perspective, but to get the coach perspective, to me, is really, really intriguing. Brendan, I know you're a huge basketball fan, so the where my mind went instantly is, I know there's got to be some power crew out there that would get you excited for. I know NBA TV has tried these players only broadcasts, but it ends up being with like Brendan Haywood and Steve Smith, and bless those two, but sorry, like I don't care what you two have to say. I'm sorry. So, like, I wrote down here just as an initial one to kind of get the conversation, get the juices flowing. I feel like the easiest, most ready-to-go broadcast would be put Chuck and Shaq out there.
Oh.
The problem is we saw at the All-Star game, give those guys some leash. You give them some room to talk.
No. And you're supposed to be able to get off topic in these casts. You see
are,
the Manning cast.
But I feel like Chuck and Shaq would take it probably three steps too far.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah,
it would be incredibly entertaining. Don't get it twisted.
Entertaining is the right
word. I
don't
think it could be on TV.
Okay, so I instantly thought of like my current favorite NBA podcasters.
Okay.
And I feel like JJ belongs here.
That's true. Right.
And
that's probably next.
He already does a broadcast, but again, if we're talking Manning cast,
yeah,
a lot looser.
Yep.
He gets to mess
around.
They're just
talking about the game. They're not play-by-play anything.
And I love Jeff Teague's podcast.
Oh.
Also, he's an elite storyteller.
This is
you
the
know,
answer. This
you
is
could go
answer.
Teague or Shumpert.
No, I just need Jeff Teague. I really honestly great. Just need Jeff.
Jeff Teague is as entertaining
it.
As it gets.
That's it.
The other player that came to mind too is I do really enjoy me some Pat Bev. I think that Pat Bev's pod
yes.
is really good.
That's terrific.
And if I were to throw a random coach,
ask the right person. This
if I were to throw a random coach
yeah.
in here, Alvin Gentry is so funny,
swept.
Dude.
You
people
swept.
Have no you clue swept. How hilarious. Alvin Gentry is. That man is just obsessed with sports.
Oh
he's
gosh.
Absolutely hilarious. The year that I got to cover him when he was interim, he was like the biggest substitute teacher vibes
ever. Ever.
He's a great time.
That great is, time. Brendan, I cannot give you enough flowers for how much you just bodied this entire segment. I was not expecting. I thought maybe, yeah, we would go back and forth on Chuck and Shaq. You absolutely killed that. Absolutely.
You
I'm tuning
you
in.
Get it
I would tune in every single game. I just really, again, I just really need Jeff Teague there.
Yeah.
But if you put, I mean, JJ, I know JJ's
JJ
got a
thing.
JJ
could just lead.
Yeah, you know, exactly. He keeps things structured.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
JJ, as we've
best
learned,
he can.
Bit of a rule stickler here, so he'll keep the bumpers up. But, yeah, Jeff Teague for entertainment for sure. Draymond's probably got a case to
yeah,
be in
yeah.
there, but I think that would probably tune out a lot of people.
Draymond and KG together would
oh,
be quite
that's
a duo.
Unhinged.
You know?
KG sometimes, him and Paul Pierce, it's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
y'all, he just tries to rile him up, and Paul Pierce just says the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are your guys,
Paul
though.
Paul Pierce, well, you know,
they
when
were.
They played.
They were.
They played.
They, those were your guys
yeah.
at one point.
Paul Pierce be saying some things now that I'm like, gosh, you're tough to defend, bro. Tough to defend.
This one is just a really quick story. I more just kind of want to get your thoughts on this. I know you are a San Francisco 49ers fan.
Oh,
you
yeah.
definitely don't claim to be an insider or anything like that when it comes to the Niners side. That's more where you get your enjoyment. But this is something where it doesn't matter what level of NFL fan you are, you'll have a thought on this. This is from Josina Anderson, who says, meanwhile, I think the Chiefs, Jets, Rams, Ravens, and 49ers are five good landing spots for Odell Beckham Jr. The first thing is getting Odell more involved in the offense and also carving out his role. I know this from covering him since his rookie year, but when it comes to pressure time in the postseason, it's down and gotta have it. He'll catch the pressure ball like he did to earn himself a ring in L.A. That's what Josina Anderson has to say. Brendan, do you have any feelings? I know there's a lot of, I don't know how much you're paying attention to the Brandon Ayuk mess
yeah.
that's going around. More, it seems to be just a lot of talk and
right.
probably not actually going to lead to anything. But how do you feel, how would you feel about Odell, who is maybe more at this point in his career, bigger celebrity than actual asset to the football field, but how would you feel about Odell joining the Niners?
Yeah, I don't mind it being explored. First guy I thought of was kind of Juwan Jennings. Like, he was been
Damn.
Big third down target Damn. For them, and maybe Odell could kind of fill that role. There
yeah.
might be other ways to look, though. And
sure. It's not the biggest need.
Yeah. I don't mind it, but I don't know that it really does anything
yeah.
for me personally.
That's very, very
And
fair.
I'm not really worried, like, he goes to the Chiefs, that I'm like, oh, gosh. Like,
yeah.
well, you know, the Chiefs, I guess, are maybe
it's
their own story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't feel like they missed yeah. out and he goes to yeah. some rival. It's like, oh, gosh.
I don't also know, like,
he
just,
great last
the Niners
year.
And Odell doesn't like, I don't think like you would see a ton of Odell jerseys for the Niners. Like, they're already such a popular brand and already
right.
have such enough stars that it's like, I don't know if Odell just being his presence really would bring that much from the jersey sales standpoint for the Niners. I could be wrong, but I don't know if Odell really has that level of pull anymore.
Trying to think who would be good in touchdown celebrations with him.
That's
who'd be the most
that's
enjoyable.
That is,
Debo? probably, Trent?
Yeah, Debo and Trent walking out with Odell. I'm sure True, you know you the, can hold the boombox and Odell can dance pretty much walking out. That's all that really matters. We are going to move on. I know we said we were going to do it earlier, but no better time than the present. We're going to get to pocket watching and look at last night's action, tonight's action. And the weekend has a lot in store when it comes to the Western Conference standings, and especially when it comes to your Sacramento Kings. We'll talk about all that and more next right here, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.